It is SNY.TV's The Juice on the Cuse podcast, covering Syracuse basketball, lacrosse, and football.
Today on the Juice on the Cuse podcast on SNY.TV, we'll be talking about Syracuse losing Daywon Coleman and a big win over Pittsburgh. I'm Wes Chang, and I'll be joined later by Jim Stickschulte, and our guest today is CuseNation.com publisher and friend of the show, Mike McAllister. Mike, always a pleasure to have you on.
Absolutely. Great to be here.
Mike, we got so many things to talk about, but let's talk about the biggest news from yesterday. Florida quarterback Juwan Dowles committing to Syracuse. How big of a get is this for Syracuse?
Well, it's big just because, I mean, you look at his offers, and he picked up offers from Clemson and Oklahoma somewhat late in the process, and, you know, he's a kid from Florida, which, you know, obviously George McDonald and Syracuse have been targeting that state pretty hard in this class. But anytime you can get a guy with offers from Oklahoma and Clemson, who is now, you know, one of your rivals because of the conference affiliation, it's big. And Oklahoma was really high on him. They had a very high grade on him. They graded him as one of the most talented cornerbacks that was on their radar. And yet Syracuse was able to land him. Now, part of that was because, you know, there are some academic concerns as far as whether or not he'll qualify. I don't think it's as big of a deal as some other places have made it out to be. But Oklahoma, whenever there's any slight question mark, they generally back off. They just don't get involved in those type of situations. And so that concern is what pushed Oklahoma away and sort of opened the door for Syracuse. And Syracuse was able to close the deal with the relationship that he had developed with George McDonald. So definitely a big pickup for the Orange.
So you just mentioned Dowles. Now that comes on the heels of Trevon Prater flipping to Syracuse. What do we need to know about him, Midwest kid?
Well, he is a safety prospect that has some versatility to move to corner and you know, maybe play in the slot a little bit. But the good thing about him is he's a little bit of a bigger defensive back. You look at a lot of the defensive backs they have, you know, Juwan Dowles that we just mentioned is 5'10". Rodney Williams and Naz Howard are both under 6 feet. Lamar Dawson is right at 6 feet. Cordell Hudson is under 6 feet. Prater is 6'2", and he's a legit 6'2". So he's bigger. He's got more size. He's built more like Darrell Askren and sort of plays a little bit like him. I don't think he has the same raw athleticism and maybe talent and upside as Eskridge does, but sort of built in that same mold. And definitely something that Syracuse can hang their hat on, that they could go after a guy late that was already committed somewhere else, get him the flip and get someone at a position of need that's got some athleticism and has the size that, you know, Syracuse is looking for in the defensive backfield.
Now, Mike, there were several other recruits on hand over the weekend, two of them being Florida wide receiver Steve Ishmael and offensive tackle Denzel Ward. What did they tell you about their visit?
Well, Ishmael has had Syracuse at the top of his list for a long time, and the visit did nothing to change that. In fact, he told me, you know, I was talking to him while he was at the airport waiting for his flight to go home, and he said he really didn't want to leave, and he was a little disappointed that he had to. So I think that's a very good sign for Syracuse. He's still going to take his final two official visits to Cincinnati and Louisville, but the biggest thing with Ishmael has been relationships, and that's been the biggest factor in his recruitment. He has a very strong one with the Syracuse coaching staff, specifically George McDonald, and the fact that Louisville, which I think would have been the bigger of the two threats to Syracuse, has a brand-new coaching staff that doesn't have any type of established relationship with Ishmael, is very big for Syracuse. So I think the Orange are in a great position with him. With Denzel Ward going into the visit, I really thought South Florida was the favorite to land him. You know, he grew up in the Tampa area. He's got a lot of connections down there, family and things like that. But he also had some Syracuse connections. He went to high school with Kendall Moore once he moved out to Chicago, and looked up to him kind of as like a mentor and an older brother. He's very good friends with Syracuse commit Aaron Roberts. And so those connections sort of made you think maybe Syracuse had a chance. And they made a big impression over the weekend. And, you know, he said that he's 50-50 between Syracuse and South Florida. There's going to be some in-home visits between both coaching staffs this week, and those are going to be huge for his decision. He may not make his decision, or announce his decision, rather, until signing day, but I expect him to make it before that. We just probably won't know what it is until he decides to announce it. But I think Syracuse did everything that they could do as far as Denzel Ward goes during the visit. So I think they have to be pretty happy with the efforts that they've made.
Mike, we're only a couple weeks away from, you know, basically Christmas Day for you guys, because signing day is just inching closer. What are some of the biggest battles that Syracuse has left to fight as we inch closer to that date?
Well, those two guys that we just talked about are huge for Syracuse. They want them both very badly. But there's a couple of more that I'll mention. Zeke Rodney, a defensive tackle out of South Carolina that was on campus over the weekend, might be the guy that they want the most on the defensive side of the ball. I know that the Syracuse coaching staff loves him. They love his upside. He's got that quick first step as a defensive tackle, explosiveness off the ball. They really like him. The big key for him is going to be the Wake Forest official visit, which he's supposed to be taking this coming weekend. If he gets out of that visit without committing to Wake Forest, because they're obviously much closer to home, and you know the campus there is beautiful, and a lot of prospects say they love it when they actually go to visit there, then I think that speaks very well for where Syracuse stands with him. Another one to keep an eye on is Adley Anoisi, who's a tight end prospect from the same high school that Grizzly Esteem went to, and he's coming up to visit the weekend of the 31st. So he's someone to keep an eye on. And then Syracuse just offered today a defensive back from Miami, Tremaine Washington. And don't know whether he's planning on taking an official. I would assume he is. He's currently committed to Akron right now. But those are three names to keep an eye on. We'll get more of a feel for that when we get, you know, to see who's actually coming the weekend of the 31st. But those are the biggest names out there right now. And if Syracuse can land those guys, as well as, you know, some of the linebackers they're after with Kyron Watson, who visited last weekend, who's currently committed to Kansas, and then Jonathan Thomas, who's supposed to be visiting the weekend of the 31st. If they end up landing a majority of those guys, it would be huge for the 2014 class.
Mike, thanks so much for being on today. Again, Mike McAllister from CuseNation.com. If you don't subscribe to Scout, you're missing out on all the inside information that Mike has. Mike, again, thanks as always. Have fun on signing day. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Wes.
Again, Mike McAllister, Scout.com, CuseNation.com. He just knows so much about the Syracuse recruiting scene, football and basketball. If you're listening to this podcast, I advise you to go on that site and check out what he has to offer. I'm now joined over the phone by the Juice Online senior columnist, Jim Stecksholte. Jim, hope you're staying warm up in Syracuse.
Doing okay. Hanging in there anyway. How about you, man?
Well, you know, I'm not doing as well because, again, the biggest news yesterday, Daywon Coleman out for the rest of the year because he's going to need surgery on that right knee that he hurt against Villanova. Jim, what do you think is the impact of this on the Orange going forward?
Well, as much as you don't want anyone to get hurt, the biggest loss is just that it shortens the rotation by one player for the most part. I mean, Coleman has, you know, he's been in that cameo role where he's in the starting lineup, and then as soon as something goes wrong, Boeheim lifts him, and then he sits on the bench until, you know, and then makes it, and then would resurface after halftime when the second half began, and then basically do the same thing. I mean, he's basically missed the last six games. He did have that cameo at the end of the Virginia Tech game where he played for a couple minutes. To be honest, I don't really think it affects the rotation that much unless someone else gets dinged up. You know, Jeremy Grant's been starting instead, and it actually makes the offense look a little different, perhaps even a little better. And beyond that, we, you know, Bai Musakite is available for a bigger role. If they need to, they can ship Michael Minjay down to play some three and possibly even squeeze Tyler Roberson into the rotation, depending on if Boeheim thinks it's appropriate.
Yeah, that's one of the things. You know, you look at Syracuse in the last couple of years, starting with Arinze Onuwaku, then moving on to Fab Mello, then James Sutherland. You know, you look at all those guys and the roles they had on that team. That's not Daywon Coleman. He's five fouls a game. He's about 5 points, five rebounds in roughly about 15 minutes of action. And they can really make that up. So I think that's one important thing. And I wanted to move on to the recent game against Pitt. And one of the things that impressed me the most was the play of Tyler Ennis, who was named ACC Rookie of the Week for the third straight week. So poised, so calm, so cool under pressure. Hit those two big layups and two more free throws to seal that win. Jim, I'm sure you're impressed as I am.
It's hard not to be. I mean, my biggest question to him is he actually a robot?
I mean, you've said that before.
He's just, yeah, I mean, well, he's so calm and controlled. I mean, I interviewed him on media day, and he looked completely bored then. So, you know, it's starting to all come together. We should just all support our new Tyler Ennis leader and just allow him to take over as necessary. But, you know, he played so well just down the stretch. He had 16 points in the game. 14 of them were after halftime. And we all know about the two easy layups he got, and I'm sure they weren't actually easy, but he just made them look so easy. And then, you know, followed those up with the two free throws that really started to put the daggers into Pitt. I think the one thing about his attitude that is really not mentioned much is it's between him and C.J. Fair, the two guys who seem to be the leaders in this team, whether it's the point guard who has the ball in his hands or the senior and, you know, go-to guy. It seems that they both had that same calm personality, never too up, never too down. You know, we can think back to when Fair took that hard, uncalled foul in Maui in the Minnesota game and had that big cut open, and he didn't show much outside reaction. And I wonder if, you know, their personalities in that way, particularly Ennis's as a point guard, kind of infect and spread around the whole roster. I mean, we think about some of the other point guards or just guards that we've seen from Syracuse in recent years who have been capable of much more emotional swings or outbursts, like a Johnny Flynn or even an Eric Dievendorf. And I have to wonder if Ennis's stoic nature has rubbed off on the rest of his teammates, and they always seem so calm at the end of these close games.
Let's go back to the Daywon Coleman issue now. I think you look at this team now, and they're going to get more minutes out of Bai Musakita. And a good thing about this is that they're going to get more minutes out of Rakeem Christmas. And Christmas has really stepped up 4-for-4 against Pitt, two big free throws down the stretch, had that nice little lefty hook shot, and excuse me, righty hook shot that he's been developing, kind of like that Arinze Onuwaku, Rick Jackson type hook shot. He really seems to be coming along on the offensive end, and I think that's huge for Syracuse, especially without Coleman going forward.
Yeah, this is the thing that I was alluding to when I mentioned when we were talking about Coleman earlier about how it might change the look of the offense. I mean, Christmas's stats have gone up a little tick, and it's primarily a function due to getting the more minutes. There's no real difference in the stats as far as that, like on a per minute basis, but the offense looks a lot more different with Grant and Fair on the floor with Christmas. Those two forwards are getting their touches in that 15 to 17 foot range. I mean, we all know the big knock on Grant coming into the season was that he's not much of a shooter, and now he's catching the ball, you know, 17, 18 foot from the basket in a face-up opportunity, just like Fair does. And that means there's only one person looking to post up down low, and that's Christmas. And even Fair is not much of a back-to-the-basket, post-up-on-the-block kind of guy. But when Christmas and Coleman are in there together, they're both, you know, one is kind of miscast because they're both much more functional in the offense down low. And when you take Coleman out of that equation, Christmas is the only guy who's down there, and it creates space and then subsequently opportunities for him.
Great insight as always, Jim. We're right at the end of our show. Your closing thoughts?
I just want to talk about our head coach of the football team, Scott Schaefer. There's a column that came out last week about how he visited a man who was in a snowmobile accident and suffered significant injuries. And it's just one of those things where it has nothing really to do with the football team as a whole, but you just get to see what kind of person Schaefer is. And knowing that a guy who's like that is leading this team, leading the football program, it just makes you feel better about the general direction. Just, you know, not even in, you know, just a football, you know, on-field kind of way, but just, you know, what kind of role model the guys who play on the team are getting in their coach.
High moral character, high moral integrity, Scott Schaefer. Great closing thought, Jim. My closing thoughts are on Otto's Army, who started camping outside of the Carrier Dome for Syracuse's upcoming game against Duke. It's called Beheimberg, and the students have started camping 12 days ahead of the game. I just want to give them a ton of credit for braving the Syracuse winter to do that. I'm not sure even as a college student I would have done that, but stay warm, guys. That's all I really have to say on that. That's it for us for Jim Stick Schulte. This is Wes Chang reminding you that I used to play sports, then I realized you can buy trophies. Now I'm good at everything. You've been listening to the Juice on the Cuse podcast on SNY.TV, and we'll see you next time.
Looking for a fun way to win 25 times your money this football and basketball season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of stats, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance on your picks are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million players who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/play100 and use code play100. That's code play100 at prizepicks.com/play100 for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.